Do not judge, or you will be judged. Isn't it hard to not judge? It's extremely difficult to not form very quick opinions. In fact, some people think they're gifted at judging. Oh, I see right through that person. Oh, I see right through. Oh, yeah. And we do it all the time because, unfortunately, within our own nature, we've got the propensity to actually judge. And it's because we don't want to be fooled. We don't want to be kidded. We don't want to be ruined. We don't want to waste our time. We've been played many times before. We've seen it, you know, bought the T-shirt, so to speak. And we can be quick to judge. And Jesus warned us about judging other people. How would we feel if this morning we had, I don't know, these two rows full of people that were a bit smelly? How we would have felt this morning if these front rows were filled with people that were a bit smelly and their clothes hadn't been washed in a while. They talked during the service, they were picking their nose, whatever. How would we have thought? What opinions? Would we have turned our nose up and gone? Or would we say, thank God that they can be in a place where they can be loved and cherished and encouraged, and they could be potentially a new person in Christ. That's the attitude that we should have. Jesus was surrounded by religious people who judged. Oh, you shouldn't heal someone on the Sabbath, it's the day off. Forgetting the fact that the person was sick. Jesus said, you know what, if you had an animal, it fell down a well, would you not pull it out? Well, yeah. Well, how much more should we mend people on the Sabbath? Then you had religious people say, oh Lord, I thank you that I give a tenth of all that I have and I tithe this, that and the other. Jesus said there are always people that will justify themselves. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to forgive because this is what they did to me and they deserve it. You see, that's human nature and it's the worst part of us. And we all have the potential to be really quite nasty, all of us. Sorry about that. Pastor upset me this morning. He said I could be quite evil. I've always been nice to him. Jesus looked at the religious situation of his day and he saw that judging others had become a great religious problem. The Pharisees and the scribes sat in the place of the critic and they were quick to pass judgment on anyone who didn't meet their expectations. This is why Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. He said, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. In other words, he's making comparison with himself and the Pharisees who wanted to put 616 laws on you, and that somehow, if you didn't quite tick the box, there was just another thing that you got wrong. And I don't know about you, but one of the most annoying people to be around is a nitpicker. Someone who is constantly nitpicking. Do you know anyone? Oh, I'm asking you to judge now, don't, but have you ever met someone and it doesn't matter what you do? You could do 87 things out of 87 out of 8 things right, and you just do one thing and they go, ah, I've caught you out. And you go to church as well. That's human nature. Do you remember the story when Jesus was in the house of Simon the Pharisee? Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus to his home for a meal. He never offered him a bowl to wash his feet. He didn't show him any courtesy. But a lady came in and wet Jesus' feet with her tears and fell at his feet. And she broke her heart before him because she was obviously troubled, sinful woman, so to speak, or whatever. And Simon the Pharisee said to Jesus, or he said to those around him actually, he said, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner. In other words, if Jesus really was who he said he was, why would he allow someone unclean to touch him? But Jesus said, I didn't come for the healthy, I came for the sick. And the biggest mistake we can make is if we never understand that we all have sickness, it's the sin virus in all of us. We're all broken people. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, he forgives us when we turn to him in repentance. The Pharisees, in their self-righteous arrogance, created a special class of people called sinners. How delightful. How delightful. Can you imagine how awful it must have been in the race riots and in the States when blacks, as they were called, had to sit on one side of the bus or were not allowed here, or you couldn't have a coffee there because you're black, or your kids couldn't go to school because you're black? How horrible, how horrific to judge someone by the colour of their skin. But often we judge people by their faults, instead of reminding ourselves that we ourselves have our own little foibles and weaknesses that offend God. When Jesus said, "Do not judge lest you be judged," he's not saying don't make any judgments. In other words, if there's a bad person hanging around or a child that is a bad influence on your kid, you're going to make a judgment that maybe in the best interest of your child, they won't play with this particular child. And that's healthy to make judgments. In fact, the Bible says that we make spiritual judgments because we need to discern between what's right and wrong. So that's healthy. But what Jesus is talking about here is the attitude of the heart. How when we judge someone, we hold an offense against them because of the hurt that they've caused us. I saw a picture not long ago that said, "Don't judge me because I sin differently to you." What an interesting picture. Don't judge me because my sin's different to yours. That's why we all need forgiveness. It's good news. Jesus said the gospel is good news. The good news of the kingdom, that God has sent his son into the world to be our sin bearer, to be the one who reconciles us between God and the Father through his death and resurrection. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not be judged, but come into everlasting life. That's how much God loves us. He chooses not to judge us in Christ. How incredible is that? The God who is holy, who hates sin because of what it does to his creation, loved you so much that instead of judging the sin in you and judging you, he came and paid the price for your sin and for mine. That's why a Christian has to go through repentance. That's why our conversion has to be real. That's why going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than eating at McDonald's makes you a chef. In fact, I'm not sure there are many chefs in McDonald's anyway, but do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Don't judge, lest we be judged. I've mentioned it before from here. I've hurt people, hurt people. We need to take a step back sometimes when someone is vicious because they're hurting. Sometimes the boys will come from school and they'll say, "So-and-so said this to me," or "he kicked me," or "this, that, and the other," or "he's being mean to me." And I'll say, "That's not a reflection on who you are. That's a reflection on the way they are. So try and be kind to them. Win them with kindness. Try. If it doesn't work, just move away. Don't judge them. Just don't spend time with them." I love this illustration where Jesus said, "How can you say to your brother," well, I can't walk around, can I, because I haven't got me.
You're still here.
You still hear me, yeah, but it doesn't go on the tape. But how can you remove the speck in your brother's eye? "Sorry, I've just seen a little fault. I'm just going to remove it." When you've got a great 4x2 plank of wood in your own eye. I think the picture that Jesus is using is a very humorous one. I wonder if he was joking about it when he taught it. I wonder if there was a piece of wood somewhere and he's picked it up, you know, because Jesus was always using illustrations and parables. I wonder if he put a bit of 4x2 up by his head. "Hey, you, let me remove that sawdust." Far better to inspire people and teach them by your example than to point out their sin. That's a difficult thing as a parent, because sometimes you have to point out something that's wrong with your kids. But you can't change a child by just telling them what's right and what's wrong, but trying to model it. It's not just do as I say and not as I do. Romans 2 and verse 1, Paul wrote these words, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge another, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things." The scripture says that a man who reads the word of God and forgets what it says is like someone who looks in a mirror and forgets what they look like. Someone said, when you're pointing a finger at someone, remember there's three pointing back at you. And that's what Jesus is saying. If we are aware of our own faults and our own weaknesses, we should be merciful with those around us. Jesus summed up the law and the prophets in Matthew 7:12. He said this, "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." Wow. If you want to summarize the entire Old Testament, Jesus said, do to others how you would like them do to you. So what kind of things would that involve if we are to do to others how we would like? Give me some feedback now. This is your bit. I'll go and sit down. What kind of things, when Jesus said, do to others as you would have them do unto you, how do you want to be treated? Tell me.
Speak kindly.
What other things?
Be compassionate.
Be compassionate. That's a very important one.
Be understanding.
Patience. Loving. How do you feel when someone smiles at you? Yeah, you don't always say, what are they after? That's not be a child when it comes to you. Dad! Normally it's followed by, can I have some chocolate? Can I put the football on? Oh, the answer's always yes to that one. If you and I were given 10p for every kind word we said, and then 5p was taken from us every time we said or thought an unkind word, would we be rich or poor? If we like people being kind to us, we can't attack other people's weaknesses and sins with a fervour that we'd never treat our own weaknesses and sins. I'm going to share a story with you. This is a true story. One night in 1935, the mayor of New York, Fiorello LaGuardia, showed up at a night call in the poorest ward of the city. He dismissed the judge for the evening and he took over the bench. And one case involved an elderly woman who was caught stealing bread to feed her grandchildren. And the mayor said to the woman, "I've got to punish you $10 or 10 days in jail." As he spoke, he threw $10 into his hat. He then fined everyone in the court 50 cents for living in a city where a person has to steal bread so that her grandkids can eat. The hat was passed around and the woman left the courtroom with her fine paid and an additional $47.50. That's a true story. Now there was a judge who saw the problem and he was right to say to her, stealing is wrong. And there is rightfully a penalty for stealing. He's not ignoring the crime, but what he's doing is he's paying for it himself. He's recognizing that in some way or another, he and everyone else is a part of the problem. Isn't that interesting? Jesus said, "Do not judge or you too will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you'll be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." You know, miserable people really are miserable. I don't think miserable people feel happy, do you? I think if you're pointing out other people's misery and you're always gossiping about their misery, you're not a happy person either. Someone said, if a person has a chip on their shoulder, it only shows that there's wood higher up. We should confess our own sins and not our neighbor's sins. I think it was Harry Enfield did a character. My name is Michael Caine, and I'm a nosy neighbour. And he always used to point out the faults of his neighbours. He'd be looking out the window. And there are places where you'll get certain characters, and they're always peeping out the window, making sure that they're fully up to spec with what's going on. If we are to truly love our neighbour, we have to rid ourselves of our own arrogant pride, because pride will not allow us to love our neighbour as ourselves, because pride doesn't make time for anyone else. It's like walking into a room, and instead of saying, "Here I am, I've arrived," you walk into a room and then you go, "There you are, there you are." It's a big difference. And pride makes us stink. But humility brings us to a place where we can actually offer people something. Someone said, when you give someone else a piece of your mind, you'll lose your own peace of mind. And that's true. We must not be quick to anger. The Bible says, in fact, we should be slow to anger, quick to love. It's hard. Sometimes someone presses our buttons, don't they? Not easy. We feel justified. Sometimes we're in situations and we can feel justifiably angry because of what's happening. But look at what's going on the inside. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love keeps no record of wrongs. I've done lots of counselling over the years, and it's fascinating how many record books come out in conversation. Especially when you get both of them, you know, man and female, husband and wife or whatever, sitting there. And all of a sudden, out comes the list, like an old policeman's book. Right, here we go then. You're ready for this, Pastor. You'll know what I've been going through. And at every point that the list gets read, the other one will say, "That's not true. I didn't believe that. I didn't do that." And all of a sudden, that person's got a list. Well, fortunately, that never lasted very long. I'd say, right, first and foremost, when one speaks, the other listens. You'll get your turn, and we'll work through it together. Slow to speak, slow to anger. There's a story of a shipwreck survivor. One mild day in the South Pacific, a Navy ship spotted smoke coming from one of three huts on an uncharted island. And when they arrived on the shore, they were met by a shipwreck survivor. And the guy said, "I'm so glad you're here. I've been alone on this island for 5 years. And the captain of the ship replied, "If you are all alone on the island, why do I see three huts?" The survivor said, "Oh, well, I live in one hut and I go to church in another." "What about the third hut?" asked the captain. "Oh, that's where I used to go to church." I don't know if you got that, did you really? I thought it was very funny. There you are. We should not make judgments when we have no compassion. Hurt people, hurt people. In Romans 14 and verse 1, Paul wrote this. He said, "Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters." I've mentioned, I think, last week or the week before, how petty some people can be, how they can leave a church because you've changed the name, or they can do something or other because you're doing something slightly different, and all of a sudden that small thing becomes the biggest problem in the world. Paul says, don't pass judgment on ridiculous things. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Obviously, with the Jews and the Gentiles, they had different diets. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. In other words, don't be distracted by people's weaknesses, because we've all got our own. Someone once said, if you want to find dirt, you can always find it. But when you look at your own dirt, you see just how clean other people are. It's having the right perspective. I'm getting close to a finally. Jude 1, 22 to 23. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Let me explain that for a minute. What Jude is saying here is, show mercy to people who don't believe what you believe. Snatch some from judgment, so to speak, from the fire, because of the way they're living and because they're separated from Christ. But when you come alongside them, it says, show mercy mixed with fear. In other words, because you're also weak, be careful that you don't get dragged in and repeat the same sins that they do. Some people put themselves in vulnerable situations and say, well, it's okay, I'm strong enough, I can deal with this. And they find that they're not strong enough. And they become overcome. First Corinthians 2:15, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The spiritual man, the spiritual person, makes healthy judgments. But even if a man were to criticize you or judge you for your faith, it's not going to stick, because the Lord has forgiven you. If you're walking in a healthy place and you're clean before the Lord, don't let it stick. I remember chatting to Pat some time ago. Remember that poem you sent me, Pat? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never harm me. It's not true. Some people are so undone by words that they take their own lives. Someone figured in the US that there are over 35 million laws to try and enforce what basically is the Ten Commandments. Isn't that incredible? The principles of the Ten Commandments, when broken down, 35 million different types of laws and statutes and different things. Philippians 2, 14, 16. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Wow, that's tricky, isn't it? Do everything without complaining or arguing. Good luck with that. And finally, no more finalies. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said that we should pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Some people say, well, I can't forgive. Well, if the Lord has forgiven you, then we need to ask the Lord to help us to forgive. It's not an easy thing. Sometimes we go through very painful things in our lives, and it's very hard to come to that place. In fact, in and of ourselves, we can't forgive. It's impossible. But with the Lord, by the help of his Holy Spirit, we can choose to forgive, even if it's one day at a time. And you remember what Peter said when he was getting fed up with his other disciples. He said, Lord, how many times should I forgive him? What about as much as seven times? And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Get on with it, Peter. Constantly forgive. We need the Lord's help to do that. Amen? Anyway, I've started, so I'll finish. Have we understood the message this morning? Are we going to be nice to each other? We try.